You guys ready to get in the Word? I'm ready to preach it, I think. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. We're going to continue a series today called When Heaven Invades Earth. Today we're going to talk about how heaven invades our surrender. And here's the concept I want to present to you today. That when you give God something empty, He fills it. But if you give God something full, He won't empty it for you. You've got to do that yourself. But if you'll give God an empty vessel, if you'll give God an empty heart, this you can take this next one a little to a place of a little bit of humor. If you'll give God an empty mind, if you'll give God an empty vessel, He will fill it with Himself. As you're going to Luke 1, I just have to brag on you, church. Last week, we took up an offering for our building funds. And in that building fund offering, you gave $21,326.50. You gave pledges totaling just over $45,000. Come on, give the Lord praise. If you will remember, in October, Pastor Terry Allen preached. He's from an organization called MVP. They gave $10,000, which brings our current building fund balance to $76,366.50. That is if my math is right. Praise. Come on, I think that's worth a better praise than that. Now, I'm just going to believe the Lord that over the next little while, He's going to help. First of all, I'm going to believe God that all of us who made pledges, He's going to give us the ability to go to not just meet those goals, but also to exceed those goals. Can we say amen to that? But, you know, there's 20 to reach our $100,000 goal, $23,500 or so. And I just believe the Lord's going to bring it in miraculously. Can you believe that with me? And if you weren't here, if you're still thinking about it and you would like to do that, if you would like to make a pledge, you can fill out this card and drop it in the box in the back or give it to me or whatever you want to do with that. You can also give online and you can just mark it building fund, however you want to do that. Just thank you. Thank you, Lifehouse, for being led of the Holy Spirit. I never want to be a pastor and I never want our church to be a church that tries to force giving as a compulsory act. I believe that we should give, not necessarily because God needs our money, but because God, He wants us to surrender to Him. That's what we're talking about today. And one of the hardest things to surrender, I don't know about you, but I know even for me, is finances. It's hard because those are things that we need and those are things that we use. But when we partner with God in that way, I don't believe that just God blesses what we do. I think God also blesses us. Is that okay? Okay, four of you that you think it's okay. I'm okay. I'm all right. Also, I'm sure you noticed that we've coned off part of our parking lot over here by our old building. Last week, we saw some more shifting. That's the key word for this year. Next year, it's forward because we're moving forward. But this year, it was shift. We saw a little bit more shifting. And we just wanted to make sure that building was safe and secure. And the plan is that by Christmas, we're going to have that braced up a little bit better, a lot better. It's not going to make the building habitable, but it is going to protect against sudden catastrophe. I think the illustration we use, Johnny, is, you know, it's like cutting a tree down. You want it to fall when and where you want it to fall. And so we're going to brace it until we get ready to say timber, all right? Okay. Amen. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate you, brother. Today, as I preach this message, I'm going to insert a few thoughts. And it might seem a little sudden, and that's because it kind of is. But I want to insert a few thoughts on fasting. Because in January, starting on January 4th, that's our first Sunday of January, we're going to kick off 21 days of prayer and fasting here at Lifehouse. It's going to be fantastic. I believe I believe it's going to be an incredible season where we're going to encounter the Lord, where we're going to experience the things of God, where your family is going to grow in the Lord, this church is going to grow in the Lord. And when we wrap up that season on January 25th, I think there's going to be testimonies of celebration of the hand of God and the work of God moving in our lives, our families, and our church. Say amen to that. But I also want to insert a few thoughts on fasting to help you get ready for that. I want to preach on Christmas-ish. But I also want to teach a little on fasting. And so it's going to feel jarring, I'm afraid, but I tried to weave it in there as best I could so you wouldn't notice. I was just, you know, but whatever. We'll see. Come on, just give me some courtesy. How many of you guys know that Christmas is more than just a holiday? It is a heavenly invasion. When heaven invades earth, it does not begin with the military, but rather it begins with regular people, willing people, but also often real people, imperfect people, and unlikely people. Anybody in the room ever felt unlikely? Heaven also invades earth through surrendered people. Look at your neighbor and say, I give up. But here's the thing, surrender is not a default setting. You guys know what default settings are, right? Am I saying the word wrong? Default? Default? Default. I got a new phone the other day. The old one worked perfectly fine, but you know the deal. You trade it in, you get a new plan, all the things. But I had to go in and change all the settings because that phone was not how I wanted it set up. Like, for instance, I changed the ringtone because I don't want to listen to the marimba or whatever that thing's called. I had to change the default settings to suit my tastes and my desires. Well, for all of us and every one of us, I don't care what your flavor is. I don't care if you buy iPhones or dumb phones. None of us default to surrender. We like control. We like plans. You might say, I'm a spontaneous person. Here's what I've learned about people who say they're spontaneous. They like to be spontaneous as long as they're the ones in control of the spontaneity. Y'all didn't even think I could say a word that big. I didn't either. I was hoping it would come out right. We like to know what's coming. My wife, literally, this is how bad I am. I got a confession to make. We had plans last night, and those plans were not in the calendar. And I knew what the plan was. I knew, we talked about it. I knew it was coming. But she knows, like, I'm just weird, and not always in a good way. About 2 or 3 hours before this plan was to take place, she put it in the calendar because she knows I want to see it there. That's how much your boy likes a plan. We can talk about it. We can dream about it. But until it's in the calendar, it's not a plan. Surrender is not a default setting. But here's the thing about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She didn't get control. She didn't get a plan. She didn't get a 5-year plan. She did not get a Google Calendar invite. She got a call from heaven and an opportunity to surrender. But here's the thing. Mary's yes changed the world. Come on, I said Mary's yes changed the world. The difference between where you are right now and where God wants to take you, not just next year, not just in 10 years, but right now, the difference between where you are right now and where God wants to take you, what he wants to do in you, what he wants to do for you, and what he wants to do through you, I believe is simply as far as one surrendered yes to him is away. One surrendered yes has changed the world, and I believe that in your life, one surrendered yes can change your world. Say amen to that. You guys ready to dive in to Luke chapter 1? Let's stand as we read together. I'm going to read 12 verses, it's 12. I'm telling you, math. And I'm going to read them kind of slow. I don't want to rush through this. I don't plan to preach for very long, but I'm going to take my time right here. Starting in verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and he said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." How many of you would like an angel to appear to you and be like, "Hey, it's so good to see you. The Lord is with you." That sounds like great news, doesn't it? Be okay. "The Lord is with you." But Mary doesn't respond that way because she knows that there's something else coming. Because God don't just show up and be like, "Hey, you're doing great. Keep up the good work, Mary. See you later. Deuces." And how do we know that? Verse 29, confused and disturbed. Oh, no. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. In other words, what's the catch, Gabriel? You ain't done talking yet. Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Chill out, calm down. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God." Oh, the good news keeps coming. Verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Did you guys notice as we were reading up there in verse 27, it said that Mary was a virgin? Okay. I just wanted to point that out. You know, the Bible doesn't surprise us like it should because we think we know it. And we feel like we're familiar with it and we know the stories. You got to know, has anybody ever told you like some news and they said one sentence and then you blacked out and everything else you didn't even hear? I think Gabriel got to that word, "You will conceive," and Mary was like, "What?" That's what I think. Verse 32, Gabriel goes on. I don't know if Mary heard any of this. Maybe Mary didn't know, Mark Lowry. Some of y'all get it. "He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary regains consciousness in verse 34. She asks the angel, "But how can this happen?" And I love her first response here. "I'm a virgin." Like, hello. I don't know if you know how biology works. Verse 35. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God." And if you were here last week, you remember this. "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son. It is now in her sixth month." Man, the Lord just dropped this in my heart. You used to say you battled anxiety. To say but you can't say it anymore. "For the word of God will never fail." I think I skipped a verse, but that's okay. Hold on just a second. You used to be defined, or you allowed yourself to be defined by a condition that you felt was outside of your control. But circumstances and seasons and situations have changed. God is working on your behalf. What you used to say will no longer be what you say. Instead, your testimony will be to His goodness and His work and His hand in your life. Verse 36, what's more, your relative has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Some translations say nothing will be impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. That's an amazing response. There are not many times in Scripture you get a response like this. You go to Moses in the book of Exodus, you get a bunch of but gods, I can't, but God, I can't. You go to the book of Judges and you read the story of Gideon, but God this, but God that. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that the same Holy Spirit who overshadowed Mary is present with each and every one of us today. And God, we ask that you will invade our thinking, that you will invade our fears, that you will invade our plans, and God, that you would invade our surrender. Lord, give us ears to hear what you are speaking. Give us eyes to see. Give us hearts to receive and to obey. And God, help us to respond with the same courage that Mary showed. In the name of Jesus, the one who is and is to come. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. You can be seated. This story shows us something very, very powerful. Again, it doesn't show us, or it shows us rather, that heaven does not invade earth. And I'm so thankful for this, and you probably will be too. Heaven does not invade earth through people who have figured everything out. Or through people who've got it all together. Has anybody in the room ever thought, I am not to a place in my life where God could use me the way that I wish that He could use me? Anybody ever thought that? Raise your hand if you ever thought that. Do you know that that thought did not come from the Lord? That thought came from the enemy who wants to accuse you. That's his nickname, the accuser, who wants to belittle you and to create so much doubt on you that you can't walk in faith in God because of what God's done for you. See, God doesn't invade earth through people who've got it all figured out. In fact, Jesus says, I didn't come for the people who think they are well. I came for those who know they are sick. In other words, we all sick. Ain't none of us got it figured out. Ain't none of us got it all together. We've all got issues. We've all got problems. Some of us more than others, right? And that's okay. Jesus said, I didn't come for people who think they're well. And notice the word, he said, who think they're well. I came for those who know they're sick. The more imperfect you realize that you are, the more available you become for God to move in and through your life. The more you think you've got it all together, the more you are actually resisting the Lord and His ability to move in and through your life. Because that is a symptom of pride and arrogance. Heaven invades earth through people who were simply willing to say yes. Mary's whole life shifts in one moment of surrender, and I believe that yours can too. And really, really quickly, real quick, I want to share three thoughts from Mary's encounter with the angel and Mary's experiences. Thought number one, God loves to bring heaven into unlikely places. Gabriel does not go to Jerusalem. He does not appear in the temple. He does not meet with the priests or the Sanhedrin or any influential people. Instead, he goes to the town of Nazareth. Now, no offense to anybody from, you know, Oliver Springs. I'm just trying to help you understand how relatively insignificant Nazareth would have been. It would have been like you're in, you know, New York City and someone is saying, hey, you know, have you heard about what's going on in Oliver Springs? And almost assuredly, they would say, where? That's what Nazareth was. It wasn't even on most maps. It was a small, it was obscure, it was overlooked, it was ignored, and it was considered relatively and spiritually insignificant. Gabriel goes to Nazareth. He doesn't appear to someone of royalty or someone of great rapport. He instead appears to a teenage girl with no status, no name recognition, and no wealth. And so if you're in the house today and you feel unlikely, I got good news for you. You're exactly the kind of person that God loves to show up in their life. Come on. God is not looking for the impressive. God is looking for the available. Heaven invades the overlooked. Heaven invades the ordinary. Heaven invades the unexpected. And you do not have to be someone of importance for heaven to move in your life. Again, you just need a yes in your heart. A yes in your heart. I told you I was going to talk about fasting. You guys ready to get a little nugget on fasting? The focus of fasting, and this is really important when it comes to fasting, the focus of fasting is not about what you take away. People, oh, I'm fasting TV, or I'm fasting social media, or sweets, or I'm doing a Daniel fast. I'm not going to eat any meat. And if you've got questions about fasting, we gave a book away a few weeks ago on fasting. And if you need a copy of that book, let Krista know, and she'll get you a copy of that book. And I encourage you to read that before January 4th. It talks about all different types of fast. But one of the things it's going to teach you, and I want to teach you today, is that fasting is not about what you take away. The focus isn't about what you're doing without. The focus is about what and who you're creating space for. Fasting is clearing out the noise of the world so that you can hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. Fasting is clearing out the noise of the world so that you can hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. It's pushing aside distractions so that heaven has a space to invade in your life. Anybody want heaven to invade their life this year? This holiday season, this new year? I do. God wants to, and here's the thing. You're not asking God for something he doesn't want to do. It's not that God doesn't want to bring heaven into your life. So often the problem is not his desire, it's your availability. And it's not just about saying yes, it's about creating room in your life for God to invade, for heaven to drop down. And that's why fasting in this situation is so important. A lot of times people will need to hear from the Lord, and they'll fast, and the misconception is, if I go on a hunger strike, God will move on my behalf. But that's not what, God doesn't care if you're hungry or not. It's not about the emptiness of your stomach. It's about the desperation of your soul to have an encounter with him. God wants to bring heaven into your life. Point number two, thought number two, observation number two, whatever number two you want to call it. Don't call it that one, though. God's will always be bigger than you can carry. Oh, you're bringing that to me? Thanks, buddy. You didn't drink out of it, did you? Oh, that's good. God's will always be bigger than you can carry. Let me say that another way. God's ask will always feel like too much. God, you know, like, I love the Bible. I know it's the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. But sometimes I read it and I go, why does I have to say that? You know, I read these stories when God shows up, people's lives. And it's never an easy ask. God never shows up to somebody and they're like, oh yeah, cool, no problem. We can do that. No big deal. No, it's always like, what? You want me to do what? You want me to go where? You want me to give what? It's always that way. Why do we think it would be any different in our lives? All of us in the room, I think we would say, I want God to show up in my life, and I want him to speak to me, and I want him to show myself to me. But here's the dangerous part of that request. When he does, he is almost guaranteed to ask you to do something that you're going to think is utterly and completely impossible. He is going to place an ask so big on you that you're going to think, there's no way I can do that. There's no way I can give that. There's no way I can give that up. There's no way I can accept that. There's no way I can say that. There's no way I can be that. There's no way that this is going to happen. Every single time, his call, his ask is going to be more than you think you can handle. Look at what Gabriel tells Mary. You're going to conceive. She's a virgin, remember? You're going to have a son, and he's going to be great, and he's going to reign forever. Mary's response is so relatable to me. She doesn't respond with opposition. She responds with sincere curiosity. But how? I am a virgin. Remember what I told you last week? Heaven's truth always trumps earth's facts. Always. Always. Every single time. She's saying, this is a lot that you're saying is going to happen. And God responds this way, or Gabriel responds this way. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. In other words, you're right, Mary. You can't do this, but God in you, through you, and for you, he can do this. And here's the catch. God-sized calling requires God-sized surrender. And if you're feeling the weight of your assignment in your life right now, maybe as a parent, you're feeling the weight of raising those kids. They're in your home, and you're wanting to love them and help them and parent them and guide them and teach them, but you are constantly reminded of your own shortcomings and inabilities. Maybe at your job, things are getting hard, the pressure is getting high, and the conditions are getting difficult, and you're thinking, I don't know how I can do this. Maybe you're a caretaker to someone who is in need of help, and you don't know how you can do it. Maybe God's called you into a ministry, and again, the calling, the weight feels too heavy, a business venture, some sort of expectation that you know has been placed on you, or maybe you're facing a need in your life right now. I don't know what it could be. It could be anything from a financial need to you need God to move in your life in a very specific way, and the vision, the hope, the dream, the one day, the need, it all just feels so overwhelming and so intimidating. And when you start thinking about it, instead of responding with a yes, you respond with a, but how? How am I going to do this? How am I going to make this? How are we going to get this to work? How am I going to get through this? How? Anybody ever been there? If the future that you're envisioning by faith feels utterly impossible. Good. Good for you. You're in the best place you could possibly be, because you are in a place in your life where you know you need God. And I'm telling you, what feels like a burden is actually a blessing. Because if it takes you, if it forces you closer to your Father, it is not a burden, it is a blessing. Come on, can you accept that word today? I mean, that's hard though, isn't it? It's hard to hear that. You know what's greater than your healing? His presence. You know what's greater than provision? His presence. It's always greater. Some of you are carrying dreams too big for your ability. You're facing battles too big, too intense for your own strength. You're stepping into seasons that are too big for the experience you've got. And here's the deal. Brian? I'm sorry, yeah, you. You're not the one who's supposed to carry it. You're supposed to surrender it. You're so tired. You feel so beat down. You feel so heavy. And it's because you picked up a burden that you thought that you were supposed to carry. But the truth is, come here, AJ. This is what it looks like to be a Christian. I got my kids in here. Not really, because that would be weird. No, don't take it yet. I got Lifehouse Church in here. I got a building that's fallen down in here. I got a leaky faucet in here, and your boy ain't a plumber, but Kristen fixed it though. That's a true story. That happened yesterday, y'all. I'm not even lying. You know, I got people in here I love and care about, and I see the things that they're going through, and so I pick those up and I put them in this bag. I got all the things, and you got your own. And what we normally do, what we try to do, is we pick this up and we find Jesus, your Jesus, for once in your life, your Jesus. And we put these burdens on, and we carry this around. Here you go, bro. Come on, hold my, no, other hand. And we say, Jesus, I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, I'm going to walk with Jesus a little weird, but this is Jesus right now. So don't skip. That'd be even more weird. And we walk like, this is what we do, though. This is what we do. Jesus, I'm trying to walk with you, but these burdens are so heavy. This bag is so heavy. This calling is so heavy. This situation is so heavy. These problems are so heavy, and I'm trying to follow you. And this is where you're going, right? But I just can't keep up because this stuff is so heavy that I'm trying to carry. But in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, put it up there for me. What does it say? Y'all read it out loud. That's so much better. I'm still following Jesus, but he's the one carrying the load, and my only responsibility is to go where he goes and do what he does and be who he's called me to be. Come on, that's worth giving the Lord praise for. Thanks, AJ. Thank you. It's a completely different perspective. You are not supposed to carry it. You're supposed to follow, and you're supposed to give it to him and let him carry it for you. He's got strong shoulders. He's got a strong back. He can handle it. Prayer and fasting isn't about trying to impress God with your spiritual devotion. It's not about trying to prove that you're some super Christian who can go without food and pray 4 hours a day. It's about admitting that, God, this calling, this situation, these circumstances, they're too big for me. This year, this assignment, this need, this burden, all of this, it's too big for me. I need you to overshadow me. I need you to carry this burden. I need you to take this load from me. And here's the thing about prayer and fasting. And listen, you don't have to wait till January 4th. Some of you might need to start today. I know you think, man, it's Christmas and there's cookies, but I'm just telling you, fasting does not strengthen your willpower. Fasting strengthens your surrender power. The call, the need, the desire, it is all too big for you, but it's not too big for him when you give it to him. Do you see the difference? Do you see the shift? God's call will always be bigger than you can carry, but it will never be bigger than he can carry. Thought number three, God moves powerfully through surrendered hearts. God moves powerfully through surrendered hearts. Mary's response is so powerful, but it is also so unique in Scripture. Very few people respond to God's call on their life in Scripture the way Mary does. The majority of times, God's call is met with an objection. And most of the time, that objection is not about the necessity of the call. The objection is based on the insecurity of the one that God has called. But Mary responds with a surrendered heart. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And this is not a passive surrendering, right? This is a bold surrender. And what I mean by passive, you know, a passive surrender is, you know, anybody ever watch the show Cops? This is a good show. Sorry. But do you know why at the end of the pursuit, you know, it starts with a car chase, then it goes to a foot pursuit, and then inevitably somebody jumps the fence, and there's a dog somewhere, and all the things. You know, the reason why the person at the end, they put their hand up and their hands up in surrender, it's not because they want to. It's because they have to. Well, the difference, that's a passive surrender. I don't see any other way out of this, so I'm just going to give in to it. That's the mentality. You know, if you ever said, I've said it, you probably have too, it is what it is. Oh, it just is what it is. That's not surrender. That's just giving up. God didn't call you to give up. He's not asking you to give up. He's asking you to surrender. And so here's three aspects of the way Mary surrendered. Surrender is agreement, not apathy. Because Mary didn't say it is what it is. She said, according to your word. According to your word, be it done unto me. Secondly, we learn this from Mary's life. Surrender is costly. It's easy to forget all that Mary risked in her surrender. She was engaged to Joseph. Odds are, as far as she's concerned, as Gabriel's talking to her, well, that means this marriage isn't going to happen. Because once he finds out I'm pregnant, he's going to believe that I've been unfaithful to him. And how in the world are you going to convince somebody that God did it? Well, it looks like if you go read the Gospel of Matthew, God had a plan. He goes and visits Joseph and says, hey, dude, Mary's not lying. Listen up. Again, I don't know what version of the Bible that is, but that's when I see words, that's how they sound in my head. She risks her engagement. She risks the respect of her people. You got to understand that the culture of this era is so uniquely different than our own. To have a child outside of the confines of marriage, not only were you risking losing respect and community, Mary was actually risking losing her life. Here's the thing about obedience. It will always cost you, but it will always reward you so much more than you could have ever given towards it. That's why I struggle a lot of times. People say, like, I gave this up for the Lord. I gave this up for the Lord. I gave this up for God. You didn't give up nothing for God. You didn't have nothing to give him. No. I surrendered it to the Lord. Yeah, it was costly, and yeah, it may have hurt for a season. But man, on the other side of that obedience, it's a blessing beyond anything you could ever hope for. And then the third aspect of Mary's surrender. Surrender makes you a place that God wants to dwell. Mary literally carried Jesus in her womb. But, and this is interesting, Paul says it like this in Galatians 4, that when we surrender, Christ is formed in us. And just as Mary was a carrier of the divine glory, so do we become in our surrender. And so, Lifehouse, I just want to ask you, where do you in your life need to say to the Lord, according to your word, let it be unto me? Maybe it is in your marriage. Maybe it is with your children, your future, your calling, your schedule, your finances, your habits, your speech. Some of you talk so bad about yourself. You have so many negative thoughts about yourself. Your father didn't put those there. Those didn't come from him. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to listen to it. What if you started believing what God says about you and surrendering that negativity to him? Maybe the Lord's been prompting you to surrender something very specific. I don't know. What's God telling you today to give to him? Would you stand? I started this message by telling you that heaven will fill whatever you surrender. That when you choose to willingly empty yourself before the Lord, He will fill you. So I want to ask you, is there anything in your life that you know you need to surrender to the Lord? It could be anything and everything, from anger or unforgiveness to a habit, to an addiction, to a thought pattern that you know is not from God, to a desire, or maybe it could even just be as simply as saying, Lord, here I am. Fill my heart. Fill my life with your goodness and your glory. But if you're in the house today, just very simply, if you know the Lord's speaking to you, and maybe it feels specific, maybe it even feels vague, but you know the Lord is saying, hey, it's time for you to go a little deeper in surrendering yourself to me. Just right where you were standing, would you just lift your hand? Just as so I know that, for one, that you're there, but also because I want to pray for you. Come on, lift it real high, real high, real high. God, thank you so much for these men and women. Lord, thank you for the desire in their hearts to give themselves wholly and completely to you. Jesus, Jesus, I pray that you would meet them right where they are, that you begin moving in their life. Lord, that you would allow in their mind and out of their mouth, that they would just begin to speak to you according to your word. Let it be done to me. According to your word. Come on, can you just say that? Just as an outward sign of faith, like just a confession to the Lord. If your hand is in the air, can you just say, Lord, according to your word, let it be done to me. According to your word, let it be done to me. And then I just want you to mentally picture whatever that is to the best of your ability. And I just want you to mentally picture yourself just giving it to Jesus and saying, hey, this didn't come from you, so I don't want to have this anymore. Can you take this? Can you take this backpack? Can you take this burden? Can you take this care? Can you take this anxiety? Can you take this fear? Can you take this anger? Can you take this need? Can you take this thing that I've been carrying that I thought was mine to carry, but now I'm realizing actually it's yours to carry, and my responsibility is to follow you, to go where you go, to say what you say, and to do what you do. Can we all just stand in the house? I mean, what I meant to say is, can we all just lift our hands in the house? Sorry. Father, again, I just pray a prayer of blessing over your people. God, that every one of us in this room, whether we lifted our hand a moment ago or not, that we would take on a posture of surrender. That those in the room who maybe they've been fighting against you, not even knowing it was you they were fighting, that they would just say, yes, Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. And God, I pray that today would be a day of yielding, that today would be a day of saying yes, and that today would be a day of inviting heaven to invade our lives. And Father, over your people, I pray that the Lord God, that you would bless them and keep them. Lord, that your face would shine upon them, that heaven would invade, listen, life house, that heaven would invade your steps. God, Lord, I pray that your people would see that the calling you have on their life is so much more than what so many of them have accepted. Lord, we've settled for scraps when you've called us to the master's table. God, I pray that the same Holy Spirit who overshadowed Mary would overshadow our lives. Surrender would not just be a momentary thing on a Sunday, but God, a way that we live, that we would wake up in the mornings and our declaration that day would be less of me, more of Jesus. God, that we would go to work and as we would interact with coworkers, that we would just say less of me, more of Jesus. As we drive down the highway, less of me, more of Jesus. As we interact with our families, less of me, more of Jesus, as we do the things that we do and everything that we do, that our heart, the posture of our heart would be less of me, more of Jesus, less of me, more of Jesus, so that we would live lives of surrendered. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more time, can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Thank you, Jesus. Lifehouse, I want you to know that you were so loved, that you were so valued, and that I'm so thankful that you are part of this family. And I believe that your best days are ahead of you. I believe that God's plans for you are so good and so beautiful. And I just want to encourage you, just as Don sang, that hope would rise, that faith would rise, and that you would be confident in the Lord who has his hand on your life like you've never been before. Don't let the enemy's lies distract you from the truth of God's word. Is that okay? I hope you can come back tonight. It's 6:30. It is going, am I right, Paul? Is it 6:30? I thought so. How many of you like Paul doing announcements earlier? Wasn't that fun? I like to call that announcements and a show. I hope you'll be back tonight at 6:30. It's going to be an incredible, incredible evening. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.